here and could we get that one down? I realized there was these other things in the way. So I'm going to move this. I'm going to pick this up and move this over here. And then if you could lower that one. That the microphone's right there, though. So.
I have a shorter stick here.
Okay, yeah, that's perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Well, that song is resonating in my heart. Thank you. Where did you go? She's in the nursery. Oh, well, I want to thank my sister for singing that song. That was marvelous. And I'll just maybe come alongside of that, and I'll just say, last week I brought this out, and I'll say it again. If there's anybody here that needs prayer, that has a prayer request, there's some cards that are right back there on the right next to the offering plates. And if you want to just write a prayer request down and give those to me, I will promise to pray for you this week. Last week, two people gave me some prayer requests, and I just want you to know I was praying for you this week, and I'm going to keep praying for you. But if there's something that I can take before the Lord for your sake, please write something down and just let me know how I can be praying for you this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning and the fact that we can come and worship you. We can come before your throne and give glory to you through praise, through giving, through fellowship with one another. And Lord, all that you require of us is that we be still and know that you are God. And I pray that that would resonate deeply within our souls today. Lord, open your word for us and help us to be obedient to what it is that you have for us. And together we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in a dry, hot, dusty summer day in southwest Idaho during the summer, does anybody get thirsty? It's maybe a little bit of an understatement, don't you think? I'll tell you what, I get a thirst for something, but you might just call it a craving. I get this thirst for Oreo Blizzards. You know what I'm talking about? Is anybody else there with me? I get this, oh, man, that sounds good, and it hits the spot in July, and it is fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, every one of us as human beings has a thirst, but it is a very different kind of a thirst, a very different kind of craving. It is a craving, a thirst for relationship, and not just any relationship, not the relationship of a spouse, not the relationship of parents and children, not the relationship of good, close, strong friends, but a relationship with the living God. That is the way that God has created every single one of us. And I'm telling you that as we come to John 7, the people were thirsty for God. Many of them did not even have an awareness of this absolute thirst. They were thirsty for God. I want to thank Ben for reading that very long passage today. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to read it again, but I wanted that entire passage read to give us a context of what was happening. But I'm only going to zero in on a few parts of this. And so I want you to look, first of all, at verse 1, John 7, verse 1. And I'm going to give you some background. It says, first of all, after these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee. He was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. First of all, there is a transition right here in chapter 7. After these things, it's referring to the Passover. Now, the Passover is during the spring. There's a big celebration. Everybody goes up to Jerusalem to celebrate, think Easter, okay? And Jesus had just fed 5,000 people, and then he walked on the water, and then all 5,000 of those people wanted him to continue giving them bread. He refuses to go along with their request, but rather gives them what they need. Now it is the fall, all right? That's what that phrase is saying. After these things, we've got a transition. We know it's the fall because in verse 2 it says, the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths, was near. And in fact, Jesus' brothers are telling Jesus, head on up. Why don't you head on up to the feast, Jesus, so that everybody can see you, in somewhat of an annoyed tone. Can you hear that? Move on, verse 3, move on from here and go into Judea so that your disciples may see your works, which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself is striving to be known publicly. If you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. Go on up, miracle worker Jesus. Now let that sink in for just a second. Because a moment later in verse 5 it says, for not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus' brothers didn't believe in him. Wow. After Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, died, Jesus would have been the one who was responsible to raise up his brothers in the same way that a father would raise his sons, to teach them a trade, to take care of them, to provide for them. After Jesus' father died, Jesus fulfilled his responsibility as the oldest son. And yet none of them believed. Now, you don't need to raise your hands, but let me ask, does anybody have children or grandchildren that do not believe? I'll tell you what, Jesus can identify with you as your high priest. He knows what every situation in your life is like, and you can put your trust in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, you remember after Jesus died and was risen from the dead, who did he go to? 1 Corinthians gives us a list of people that he went to. It says that he went to Cephas, Peter, right? He went to the 12. He appeared to 500 people, but it says very specifically he went to James. That would be his brother, the oldest of the other brothers that Jesus had. He went to James. Jesus was very intentional, he was very specific, and he went to his brother who did not believe. Why? Because he cared deeply and passionately about the eternity of his brother. If you have sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, grandchildren, I want to encourage you. Don't be discouraged. Don't stop praying. Don't stop loving. And don't stop proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ in your life. Continue and be diligent in loving your family who does not believe. Well, the disciples of Jesus decided to stay with Jesus. I should say Jesus and his disciples decided to stay in Galilee for a little bit, while the rest of the people went up to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus went up to celebrate the feast, but he went in secret. He was not there on public and in display for all the people to see because he had some enemies that wanted to kill him. Now, understand the intensity of what is going on with Jesus and the Pharisees and the chief priests. They do not like him. They want to kill him. And we're going to get to where Jesus does reveal himself in a moment, but it says there again in verse 2 that it was near the Feast of Booths. And I asked you guys last week, how many of you have celebrated the Feast of Booths? And nobody raised their hands, which is not a surprise, okay? It's just not something we generally do or think about here in the United States of America, or maybe I could even say anywhere outside of Israel. It's just not something that we do. And so I want to give you a little bit of a background because it helps us to understand what was going on during the Feast of Booths. It's also called the Feast of Tabernacles, too. So if you have a little bit different translation, that is okay. Let me read some of this to you. This is from Leviticus 23, and you can read all of it in verses 23 to 44. I'm just going to read verses 42 and 43. It says, "You shall live in booths for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in booths, so that your generations may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out from the land of Egypt." All right, now think about that for a second. A booth. What is a booth? Well, it's a tent. It's a tent. Remember, they exit Egypt, and God has these very specific instructions for them to build a tabernacle. Well, it was a tent. They could take the tent down and travel easily, put the tent back up, and that's where the house of God was for a few hundred years. Well, the people, while they were traveling through the wilderness, they were living in tents. So the way they celebrated and the way they still celebrate the Feast of Booths in Israel is all the people go camping for a week. Wouldn't you love to go camping every single week in your backyard with your family, right there and celebrating the Feast of Booths? And oh, by the way, one more thing. This is when the rainy season comes. And so everybody gets to go out and celebrate by camping in the rain. Now just think of that for a second. And remember that this is supposed to be the most joyful, boisterous celebration that they had. And it really was. And you'll see an element of that in a few minutes. But let me just ask here for a second. What happened while the people of Israel were wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years? There were some huge, memorable events. You probably think of, first of all, the crossing the Red Sea. And all the people crossing on dry land, they go get on the other side, and Pharaoh and his whole army, they drown in the Red Sea. This is a big deal. And then there's another event where God feeds them rain or bread from heaven, right? And it's manna. We looked at that last week, and Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he says, I am the living bread. We considered that last week. I am the bread of life. Sorry, I said that wrong. And then we also consider that, well, God provided this quail for the people while they were in the wilderness. But there's one particular event that stands out that they would celebrate, and it was giving water. It was this giving of water, God providing in the wilderness, but providing water also. I can get that up there. And in Exodus 17, verses 2 through 7, it says this, "The people quarreled with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said to them, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?' But the people were thirsty for water there. And they grumbled against Moses and said, 'Why is it that you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?'" Now let me just say this. These things have been written down so that you and I can judge, right? No, that's not what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. These things have been written so that we might learn from them. Let's be careful not to judge the people of Israel when they're wandering around in the wilderness. It's dry, hot, dusty, desolate conditions, and the people are thirsty, them and their livestock, their animals. I think I can understand. Let's be careful not to judge and quick to learn. Goes on and says this, "Well, Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, 'What have I to do with this people? A little more and they'll stone me.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile and go. Behold, I'll stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink.' Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And then he named the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, and because they testified to and because they tested the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Now, Numbers chapter 20, verses 8 through 11 tells another story, and it's the second time that the Lord provided this water in Israel. We typically remember that one most because rather than speaking to the rock, what did Moses do? He strikes the rock like he did the first time, and then he strikes it again. And God says, Moses, you're not going into the promised land. Why? Because Moses didn't believe what God said. He's judged. He cannot go back in. Well, the point is that the people, when they celebrated this Feast of Tabernacles, remembered wandering around in the wilderness, living in tents for a full week, 8 days, okay? So a week. And by the way, this festival starts tonight at sundown, okay? So if anybody wants to celebrate, you guys can go outside. It might rain tonight, I don't know. You can go outside and live in a tent for the next week and understand a little bit more of what it's like to live during the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacle. Well, all these people, 2 million people, were able to drink. And they fed their cattle, their livestock, and all the other animals that were with them. And this was something that Israel was commanded to celebrate. Psalm 78. 15 and 16 is a great reflection of this, but Isaiah 12:3 says this, and this is how the people of Israel would celebrate. Each day of the feast, a priest filled a gold pitcher with water while the choir sang, Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. This holiday spoke prophetically, not just of the coming Messiah, but of the coming Spirit. All right, now Ben, I'll have you go ahead and grab the other guys that are going to come in and help me with this in a second. And as Ben's doing that, I want to read a couple passages from you, or for you, or with you, back in John 7. There's a little context of what's going on during the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, Jesus has gone up secretly. And it says this in verse 25, because Jesus does eventually start teaching. And it says, so some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, is this not the one whom they are seeking to kill? And yet, look, he's speaking publicly, and they're saying nothing to him. The rulers do not really know that this is the Christ, do they? A little bit later in verse 31, it says, but many of the crowd believed in him and were saying, when the Christ comes, he will not perform more signs than these which this man has done, will he? People began to make a real connection that Jesus is the Christ. And by the way, that is the goal, that is the focus of the Gospel of John, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. All right, now if I could have Jake and Daniel come on up, guys, and I'm going to have you come up. We're going to start this last day of the feast. And we're going to call this, okay, what this beginning of this last day, come on up here, guys. This is called, oops, I grabbed the wrong sheet. On the seventh and last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews had a special ceremony called the Feast of Rejoicing at the House of the Water Pouring. Okay? We're going to shorten that and call this the Water Pouring Ceremony. Okay? And so here's what happened. This is the morning sacrifice. And in the morning, the high priest would come on up and he would make his sacrifice. So we've got Lammy up here. Everybody over here, you may not be able to see this, but we've got Lammy right here. So let's go ahead and high priest Jake, let's go ahead and sacrifice Lammy. Okay? And he's going to take his knife. He's going to cut his throat here. Okay? He's going to cut his throat. Okay? And Lammy has been sacrificed. Now he's going to take the blood. He's going to spread this around the four horns of the altar. Okay? All right. Thank you very much. Okay? And his assistant is going to take last night's sacrifice. And what he's going to do is he's going to take this sacrifice, Daniel, right here. Last night's sacrifice is right here underneath. Okay? And he's going to take this sacrifice back to the Kidron Valley, where we have a number of other priests, okay? Now, both of you guys go ahead and head on back now down to the Kidron Valley, okay? And they're going to take this, and they're going to dispose of the sacrifice, okay? Now, yep, just go ahead and go on back there, guys. And Daniel, you can leave Lammy with Nana there, okay? Now, while they did this, the other priests, this is you guys now, they would go and grab these long sticks, okay? These willows and these palm branches, and yes, there is imagery, okay? And they would line up shoulder to shoulder, and they would very loudly say, and Joy, did you go ahead and give them the bowls here, give Daniel the silver bowl and Jake the golden bowl, okay? And they, now, okay, hold on before they come up. This is where I told you guys audience participation was going to come in, okay? Audience participation. Now, here's what they would say. They would quote what we call the Hillel Psalms. Hillel means praise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what it means. And there's Psalms 113 all the way through 118. Now, we're not going to do that this morning, but understand this was a long trip for the priests to make from the Kidron Valley and from the Pool of Siloam, where they would bring the water of life. That's because that's what Isaiah 12 calls it, the water of life. And they would bring that up. So what they're going to do is they're going to shout, not whisper, but shout, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All right, so let's all try this together, okay? Go ahead and wave these around, guys. Say it with me. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Everybody, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Keep going. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Priests, come on up. Come on up. Yeah, keep going. It is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All right, now hold on. While they are coming up, what they're going to do now is these priests, they're going to circle the altar seven times. Now think about that for you. Go ahead and start circling seven times. I want seven times around the altar, okay? Now, think about this. Why would they circle the altar seven times? Well, it's because it's the last day of the feast. What was the last thing that Israel did when they came out of the wilderness? They went into Jericho and they circled. They marched around the building or the city seven times, okay? And then what did they do? They shouted, right? This is remembering what has happened, but it's also getting ready to look forward to something else that is about ready to happen. Now, I didn't count. Did you guys get around seven times? This is four? Okay. Five and six and seven. Okay, great job. Great job, everybody. But they would circle seven times. Now, this is the thing that is happening. They are celebrating. We are remembering the Feast of Booths. This is one of the most joyful things that anybody has ever seen. And by the way, an ancient writer did say, if one has never been to the Feast of Booths, he does not know joy. All right, so we are at the Feast of Booths, again, starting tonight, okay, ending next, it'll end on Tuesday, but 7 days and then the eighth day, so it adds one more. We're celebrating. And just before, I'm going to read this here. Oh, and I forgot to put these up for you guys. Okay, as they're doing this, okay, they've got the last day of the feast there in John 7:37. They're going to slay the sacrifice. They're going to dump the ashes. They're going to worship. That's what we were doing. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're going to collect the living water from the Pool of Siloam, which is there in the Kidron Valley. They're going to march around seven times. And then we come to this part of the pouring ceremony. And before they do that, I want you to know, as soon as he pours it, there is this great celebration, or right after he pours it, there's this celebration, this victory. And so after he pours it, we're going to do that. We're going to celebrate. We're going to shout for joy because that's what we're doing here, okay? But just before he does that, something happens, and there is this hush. of anticipation and excitement and adrenaline right before he pours the water. And so as he lifts it up, don't pour it yet, but as he lifts it up and the hush comes over, Jesus, it is almost universally agreed that at this moment is when Jesus said the words of verse 37 and 38, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scriptures said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And then he poured. Ready, guys? You ready? Yay! All right, thank you, guys. You guys can go be seated. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, my goal with this whole thing is so that you will remember when Jesus said those words, it was at the water pouring ceremony on the last day of the feast. I hope you'll remember that. Because I think it was huge. And I think when Jesus said these words, everybody got it. And if we don't have this picture of what's happening at the Feast of Booths, we don't quite have the full ramifications of what Jesus was saying. And so let's just consider a few things here from the message. Now, we zero in on those miracles. We are in awe of those miracles. There's no miracles here. Because the miracle is not the point. The point is the message that Jesus brings. And so again, here is the message. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And so we have orders from Jesus right after or right during the water or the mixing of the water and the wine. And if anybody's concerned, it was grape juice, not wine. Fruit of the vine, okay? That's what we're going after here. Okay? Don't judge me, okay? The first thing, it is the qualification. The qualification. There is one qualification for anybody who would be there, who would follow in the steps of Jesus. And that qualification is the knowledge of a desperate need for living water. A thirsty soul, not longing simply for water, but for a relationship with God. Notice that it doesn't say you need to be good, you need to be moral, you need to be religious, you need to participate in all these. It doesn't say any of that. It says if you are thirsty, that is the one qualification that is given. Psalm 42. Verses 1 and 2 says, "As the deer pants for the brooks of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts, not for water, but for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Let me just ask you, are you thirsty for God? Does your soul hunger and thirst for Him? Or are you satisfied with other things? If you thirst for God, then Jesus says, "Come, come to me." This is the way someone will approach Jesus. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." The first and the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Come. Come to Jesus. At another place in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Seek first his kingdom." Don't worry about food or clothing or where all these things will come from, but seek first his kingdom. And his righteousness and all of these things will be added to you. The last thing then is to participate. It is to participate and drink. The river running through the valley does no good to the hiker who is thirsty and at the edge of death, parched. The river does him no good if the hiker does not go and drink the water. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink. And Jesus is saying, if you are thirsty, then come to me and drink. Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Come and take refuge in the springs of salvation. That is what Jesus is inviting all the people to do. And so what exactly is this river of living water? Well, I want you to know that Jesus builds the context, or I should say, John builds the context. Let me just bring a couple of these passages to you. In John 3, Jesus is in that conversation with Nicodemus, and that was the first message that we looked at when I was here. And he said to Nicodemus, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, capital S, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Later he said, you must be born again. The next chapter, John 4, Jesus meets this woman, a Samaritan woman, at a well. And he says, give me a drink of water. And she's a little confused and says, what? You're talking to me? First of all, I'm a woman, and men don't talk to women. Second of all, I'm Samaritan, and Jews do not talk to Samaritans. And Jesus responds to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman asked, really in a confused way, where do I get this water? And Jesus knows that she is not getting the gist of what he is going after. And so in John 4, he clarifies it to her. And he says in verse 13, or I should say, she asked, where do you get this water? In verse 13, Jesus responds, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never be thirsty. But the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to eternal life. Now, the conversation ensues. She starts to get concerned about the location of worship. But Jesus says this. This is the end of verse 23 and verse 24. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Understand that God is looking for worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. If you would seek to have your thirst quenched, it begins with being born of the Spirit. And once you are born of the Spirit, you become a worshiper of God. God is looking for people to worship him. And they do that through a personal relationship with him. Now, the great thing about the Bible is that whenever we have a question, it answers those questions. Now, sometimes we got to read a long ways, and sometimes we may not always see the connections. But usually, if we ever have a question about what something is, it gives us that connection. Sorry, I forgot to put that one up there. But in verse 39, Jesus tells us exactly, I should say John tells us exactly what he is giving. Now, before I do that, before I read that verse, I want to read a couple other Old Testament passages for you guys. Isaiah 44, verse 3. For I will pour out water on a thirsty land and streams on the ground. I will pour out, now here's the connection, my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Did you catch the word? I tried to emphasize it. Pour out water, my spirit on your offspring. This is Zechariah 14:8. And by the way, I'll just say this. The Feast of Booths will be celebrated in the millennium. You can read all of these Zechariah 14 and see this. And the nations that do not go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Booths, it tells us there will be judgment upon those people. But here's what verse 8 says. In that day, living waters will flow out of Jerusalem. There's some imagery of the throne of God there and the water of life flowing out from the throne. But living water is associated, it's always been associated with the Feast of Booths. Now here's what Jesus says in verse 39, talking about rivers of living water that will flow from the one who comes to Jesus and drinks. But this he said in reference to the Spirit, capital S, whom those who believe in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. If you come to Jesus and drink from the springs of salvation, from within you will flow the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water. And that's what Jesus wants you to know. That's what Jesus wants to declare for you, is this picture of life flowing from you. Paul tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, love is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let me just ask, what do the rivers of living water look like coming from you? If you know Jesus, then the Spirit is producing these living waters. And if you look at your life and you don't see a lot of fruit, let me challenge you, pray. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, please produce fruit in my heart. And let's let the rivers of living water flow from you. Warren Wiersbe says, the water was but a picture of the Spirit of God. Believers would not only drink the living water, but they would become channels of living water to bless a thirsty world. Brothers and sisters, let us channel this living water to a dry and a thirsty world. Father, help us to do that. Help us to remember the feast, yes, and all the imagery that comes along with the feast. But Lord, help us live this out. Help us come to you and to drink so that you will produce rivers of living water through us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.